Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the show that takes, stacks of incredible insights and really just gives you the shortcut to being genuinely well-informed.
Yeah, exactly.
And today, we're diving into something pretty profound. It's the concept that guides so many lives' faithfulness. We're going to unpack it using wisdom from a source focused on living a life of ongoing faithfulness. And we're keying in specifically on Psalm 119, verse 8. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me.
Yeah, and our goal really for you listening is to, well, peel back the layers on what statutes actually mean in this context. It's bigger than you might think.
Right.
We'll explore why following them is presented as so crucial for like protection and guidance. And we've got some really practical strategies for bringing this into your daily life, even with all the chaos of today.
Yeah, modern challenges.
Exactly. We want to give you those aha moments, where it clicks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So our focus is squarely on understanding and crucially applying God's statutes in our lives. We're exploring ancient wisdom, but looking for that modern relevance.
Okay, let's unpack this.
So to really kick things off, we need to nail down what statutes actually means here. We're talking about God's established instructions, the ones that are meant to endure.
Right.
And the key thing to get here isn't just a dictionary definition. It's the huge difference between these statutes and, well, human laws.
Oh.
Man's laws, they change all the time, don't they? Amended, repealed, they shift with society. But these divine statutes, they're presented as fixed, unchanging, like foundational principles.
That distinction really does change everything, doesn't it?
It does.
When you think about Old Testament examples, I mean, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, they jump right out as these core moral statutes.
Definitely.
But the source also talks about, the dietary laws, the ceremonial statutes in Leviticus, which makes you wonder, how do those specific ancient rules translate? Or do they transform over time, especially for us now?
That's a great question. And that's where the New Testament perspective is, really helpful. It talks about Jesus fulfilling the law.
Right. Matthew 5.
Exactly. But fulfilling isn't abolishing, not the moral core anyway. Think of it less like canceling a contract.
Okay.
And more like taking the old blueprint and actually building the finished house. He embodied the spirit behind those statutes. It shifted from external rules to an internal heart thing.
So it's about the principle, the spirit of it, not necessarily the exact letter of an ancient code for us today.
Precisely. It's about grasping and living out that deeper intention.
Okay, because it's easy sometimes to just see these as, a list of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of restrictive.
Right.
But this deep dive suggests there's something much deeper going on, like a benefit that's almost counterintuitive. What makes them more than just rules?
Yeah.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Well, what's really highlighted is that these aren't just arbitrary commands thrown out there. They're presented as like direct reflections of God's own character. Think of them almost like a divine instruction manual for living in sync with how reality is designed. And the idea is when you align with that, it brings protection. It brings guidance. It can even bring favor into your life.
So alignment, not just compliance.
Exactly. It's about tuning into divine wisdom, not just ticking boxes.
And we see this in some pretty powerful stories, right? Like Daniel in Babylon. That's a classic.
A very powerful one.
He's under huge pressure to eat the king's food, which went against his understanding of God's statutes. He chooses vegetables and water seems simple.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome wasn't just being healthy, the source points out, it led to this incredible intellectual and spiritual edge. It shows integrity can bring unexpected wisdom, even when you're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Challenges that instant gratification thing, right?
Absolutely. Or look at Joseph in Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Another great one. Genesis 39.
His integrity in Potiphar's house. Refusing Potiphar's wife?
Yeah.
That's a serious commitment to a higher standard.
Right. And got him thrown in prison initially.
It did. Immediate hardship. But long term. That very integrity is what paved his path to, immense influence and power.
Wow. So connecting that back, what can we take from Daniel and Joseph for ourselves? What are the principles there?
Well, I think both stories really show that sticking to what they believe were God's unchanging instructions, even when everything around them screamed compromise, it resulted in a kind of supernatural protection and eventually elevation. It suggests that, being consistent in faithfulness can shield you or open doors in ways you just wouldn't predict.
That is powerful. Okay, so we've talked about what these statutes are, seen some historical impact.
Right.
But that leads to the next logical question, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the benefits are potentially so profound, how are we meant to live them out? And maybe more importantly, why? What's the real motivation? The source emphasizes it's about love, not fear.
It absolutely does. John 14.15 just nails it. If you love me, keep my commands.
Simple but profound.
It really is. It shows obedience isn't meant to be this like rigid, fearful thing. It's presented as an act of worship, a natural response, an outpouring of love, and wanting to be aligned relationally, not just, you know, grudging duty.
A response, not just a requirement.
Exactly.
And to make that really practical, the source suggests this interesting reflection exercise.
Yeah, I like this one.
Writing down one specific area where you know you struggle with obedience.
Uh-huh.
And then committing to pray about just that one thing daily for 30 days.
It's powerful because it's focused. It's not just general prayer. It's targeting a specific area of maybe compromise with consistent intention.
Right. But let's be real. Even with the best intentions, it's hard.
Oh, absolutely.
What makes living by these statutes so challenging today? The pressures seem immense.
They really are. And the source points out some common ones. I mean, there's the obvious peer pressure, cultural trends that just run completely counter to these principles sometimes.
Yeah, you see that everywhere.
Then there are our own internal struggles, right? Personal weaknesses, temptations we all deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this concept of, well, spiritual warfare. It's not just external stuff, but internal battles too. Doubt, temptation. The source mentions Ephesians 6, that call to put on the whole armor of God.
Right, actively equipping ourselves.
Exactly, using truth, righteousness, faith. Because the challenges are presented as very real.
It can sound a bit intimidating, though, can't it?
It can.
But there's encouragement, too, right? Like 1 Corinthians 10.13.
Yes. That promise that God always provides a way out of temptation. There's always a path, always a way through. It's not a hopeless situation.
Okay, so if the challenges are real, but there's hope,
yeah.
What's the game plan? How do we actually do this day to day?
Right, the practical side. The source lays out some really solid strategies for cultivating that daily faithfulness, making it truly livable.
Good. Let's hear them.
Okay, first. Daily scripture reading, making it a non-negotiable habit, you know, engaging with these principles regularly.
Starting the day right.
Exactly. Second, prayer of alignment, not just asking for stuff, but actively asking God to help your will line up with his, to desire what he desires.
Okay, intentional alignment.
Third, community accountability. This is huge.
Yeah.
Surrounding yourself with other believers who will actually encourage you, maybe challenge you, keep you on track. Sharpening each other.
Not going it alone.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And fourth, journaling. Actually writing down answered prayers, lessons learned when you did follow his statutes. It builds this personal history of God's faithfulness in your own life, like your own evidence file.
I like that, a personal hall of fame.
Mm.
These aren't just abstract ideas, though. They play out in real life.
They absolutely do.
The source shared a modern example I thought was powerful, a Christian business owner. She faced this really lucrative deal, but it was ethically shady.
Mm-hmm.
She turned it down. Big risk. But the story goes, God honored that decision later with even better, cleaner opportunities.
Mm.
Integrity paying off, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes.
Or think about, like, a young person in high school choosing purity when it's definitely not the popular path.
A tough choice.
For sure. But the example given was someone who made that choice and later became this respected youth leader, influencing tons of other kids precisely because of her consistency.
That's powerful, too. And if you zoom out even further, think globally.
Okay.
Believers in countries where it's, well, restricted, they often risk jobs, freedom, even their lives, just to adhere to God's statutes.
That puts our struggles in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. It shows this profound level of commitment, and it highlights how universal these challenges and commitments are across totally different cultures and situations.
Which brings us back, full circle, to our verse.
Yeah.
Psalm 119.8. The psalmist declares, I will obey your decrees. But then immediately cries out, do not utterly forsake me.
Yeah.
What does that second part, that cry, tell us? Especially right after declaring obedience. It seems to point to dependency, right?
Absolutely. That cry is pure dependency. It's this deep recognition that ultimately faithfulness isn't about our own willpower or strength.
Okay.
It's completely reliant on God's nearness, his active presence. The belief is that his presence is what actually empowers you, strengthens your resolve to obey. It's relational.
So it's not just about the statutes, but the relationship with the one who gave them.
Exactly. And that promise in Deuteronomy 31.6, he will never leave you nor forsake you, is the bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
It means even when you mess up, when you stumble, which we all do, the message isn't condemnation, it's restoration. God offers a way back, not abandonment.
That's incredibly encouraging. Okay, so to really ground all of this, make it super practical, the source offers this great 7-day challenge.
Yeah, that's really actionable stuff.
It really is. And the idea behind it seems to be that faithfulness isn't just a decision. It's like a muscle you build through consistent daily actions. It can actually shift your whole perspective.
Definitely.
So here it is for you listening.
Just memorize Psalm 1 and 19.8. Get that core verse locked in.
Simple start.
Day 2. Identify one area where you know you've been compromising personally.
Yeah.
And just remove it. Take action.
Okay, getting specific.
Day 3. Share God's truth with someone. Step out a bit.
Write down 3 specific blessings you can trace back to times you chose obedience. Remember the good stuff.
Building that gratitude.
Day 5. Fast from one significant distraction, could be social media, TV, whatever, pulls you away.
Pray specifically for courage. Courage to stand firm when it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Needed.
And day 7. Just take some time to worship. Thank God for his statutes, for the guidance they offer.
A great way to round it off. So if we were to sort of boil down everything we've covered.
Yeah, let's summarize.
Remember this. Obedience in this view isn't about perfection. Nobody gets it right all the time. It's about direction.
Keeping oriented.
Exactly. It's presented as a lifelong journey, this continual process of aligning yourself with what you believe is divine truth. And it's sustained by knowing God's presence is always there. So thinking about all this, what does it mean for you? Listening right now, that cry from Psalm 119.8, do not utterly forsake me. How does knowing God's presence is constant, that restoration is always offered, how does that empower you? Does it maybe shift the focus so you can approach your own journey of faithfulness less with this like paralyzing fear of messing up?
Yeah.
And more with the courage to just keep adjusting your direction, keep aligning with what you believe is true. Something to really think about.
Definitely.
We really hope this deep dive has given you some valuable insights. We encourage you maybe replay it this week. Let it sink in. And if you know someone else who might benefit from exploring faithfulness and guidance like this, please share it with them.